have to fix it.
September 9th, 2013, Mach Sashir. Round the air.
One of the most descriptive paragraphs throughout both on Rosh Hashanah as well as Yom Kippur is the what we say in Musaf, Achil Lakel, Achal Uponov, when the Chazan stops for a moment and says he needs help from the. We have it in Musaf, it's page 554. Achil Lakel, we're done with the Oren that's open. Achalef Ponov, he turns to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the ability to be able to say what he has to say. Asher bikal oma shiru uzo. And amongst people, he will sing God's praises. Abir ben anos ba'ad mefalov. And he will express songs on behalf of his creations. L'odam marche lev. Umay Hashem ma'ne loshem. People can organize their ideas, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives us the ability to say things. So that phrase, Lo'odam Mar Chelev, V'Lashem Ma'ne Loshon, U'me'ashem Ma'ne Loshon, in the course of life, we know that happens very, very often. Lo'odam Mar Chelev, very often, we know we want to say something, we know what we mean, we know what we have to say, and then we're about to say it, and either we become tongue-tied, or we're surprised that we end up saying. And then we're surprised at how it's taken. And sometimes it's embarrassing, and sometimes it's unbelievably successful. We go in thinking we have one idea, and the person that we present it to sees it in a much better way than we ended up presenting it. So this phrase, La'odam Mar Chelev, V'me Hashem Ma'ne Loshon, we organize our ideas. How it actually comes out often takes on a life of its own. So that's a phrase that as one gets gains more and more experience, one sees it more and more often. Question is, what's it doing in davening? Because the Rabbanu Shem sees what's in our hearts. Rabbanu Shem doesn't, how the words come out are not so significant to the Rabbanu Shalom. La'odam Mar Chelev, no, Vashem Ro'el Alevav, because Baruch Hu sees what's going on in our hearts. So what's the significance of saying Rabbanu Shem, help it come out correctly? Because we're afraid that it won't come out properly. So what does it matter? Because Baruch Hu knows what's going on.
Something that the Shvei Tzibah says, it's not the...
It means he's afraid that he will not represent the Tzibah properly. Yeah. That he...
Even especially since now our tefillahs are formalized.
Yeah.
See, you know, there's very little ad-libbing. Like
maybe right, it's going to... Right.
Before that, she had a gedola, so Hashem, let me... Even if you read wrong, we say it the way that
I can.
You can read from the mosque.
Yeah, it's even more so. I was thinking that perhaps it means that very often we prepare ourselves very well. We can prepare ourselves well for Yom Kippur. We can prepare ourselves very well for a davening. But there's so many things that are happening either around us in our minds, it's all of a sudden our minds. You know, here we're davening. We know we have to say Amelech HaKadosh. Right, and we heard the clap, and we know, and we say Zachreinu, and we're ready for Michamocha. Then, by the time all of a sudden Ratachonein, we realize that Akela Kodesh. So, what happened? So, sometimes our minds get the better of us. That's so. I was thinking that perhaps that's what has been La'odam Mar Chelev. We come in as prepared as we can to come to the Yom Kodesh, and we're sitting in shul. And we're Baruch Hashem, we're davening well, and then all of a sudden the air conditioner goes off, air conditioner goes on, whatever it is, either we're freezing or we're schwitzing, and all of a sudden our minds have moved. So we say there, Baruch Shalom, Odom Mar Chelev, we realize that our shortcomings, Hashem Ma'ana Loshen, and Kadosh Baruch Hu help us maintain all the kavanas, all the intentions that help us remember. Persons could sometimes go into the Yerim HaKadosh have certain things that are very much on his mind, and then without realizing it, it's already holding by Mincha, and he hasn't talked to Rabbanu Shlom about something that's very pressing on his mind. So that's why one of the ideas, that we turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu and we say, you know what's going on in our hearts, help us give good expression to it. Help us what we have to say. I was thinking that there is, when we come into one of the things that we say through Slichas, and then we say it on Yom Kippur as well, it's a famous phrase, Aneshama loch va'aguf po loch usal amaloch. Kadosh Baruch Hu, his soul is yours, the body is your handiwork, have rachmanos on your work. Then we say Aneshama loch va'aguf shaloch asei leman shemecha. The body, the soul is yours, and the body belongs to you. So have rachman, do something for your own good name. So I thought that perhaps we can give greater meaning to this. In the Machzer, here we say it during Slichus, it's on page 106. And the Shema, that's the first time we say it on Yom Kippur. Just a few lines up. So I was thinking, when we say, every time we say Asher Yotzer, so we end Asher Yotzer by saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, Rofei Chol Basar, Umafli La'asos. Rofei Chol Basar, he cures everybody. He can cure all flesh. Umafli La'asos, and there's wondrous things. What's the wondrous thing that we're talking about? So according to Shulchan Aruch, it means what we just described, how the body is has so many openings to it that we wonder how everything stays in its place that it's supposed to stay in. That's in the kavim, chalum, chalum. There are pipes and there are and there are chambers and there are holes. So how does it all work out? So Kadosh Baruch Hu does a masterful job of keeping everything in its place. The Rambam says that the pshat that we should have in mind the following: Rofeichol Bosar, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of our bodies. Umafli La'Sof, and he does a fantastic thing beyond human imagination. He has a neshama and a guf sticking together somehow. That's what the Rambam says. Umafli La'Sof, like it's coming from no place. You're talking about body, body, body. In fact, one of the pshatim of the Shulchan Aruch is that we have a body that is able to get rid of the waste and maintain the important nutrients. Mafli La'Sof, it's all in the physical. The Rambam says, Rofeichol Basor, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a body, takes care of it. He does something fantastic. He puts a neshama inside a body. These are two parts of God's creation that don't belong together. The neshama is undefined. The neshama cannot know any boundary. The neshama is a chelik, part of the Ribono Shel Olam. The body is bounded. The body is limited. It's physical. Can't go together. The two can't, physically, they should not be connected. They can't be connected. So every time we're able to say a bracha, we say the Ribono Shel Olam that he became out of the bathroom. He's given us a body that Baruch Hashem is working. And I'm able to think about it in divine terms. I'm able to leave the bathroom and express gratitude to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's the neshama and the guf working together. It's unbelievable. So he said, neshama loch. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we know the neshama is part of you. Haguf pa'aloch. And that the neshama stuck into a guf pa'aloch. That's one of your miracles. That's one of your wonders. Chusal amaloch. Have rachmanos on this tremendous thing, which amaloch means in your handiwork. And on this, have rachmanos. In other words, we're coming, and every time we say slichas, so we're saying, Ribono Shel Olam, the guf neshama combination, we're not doing with it as well as we should be doing. The body-soul combination, our bodies should be holier, our souls should be more expressed, we should be able to be closer to you. So, saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're not doing the best we can do. Chusonol amaloch, but you did this tremendous nace, you did this tremendous handiwork, have rachmanis on it. Let's keep it together for another year. Let's keep it together at Meir Vesem Shana. Haneshama loch va'guf shaloch. It's possible that we can come to the Madrega, especially in Yom Kippur, to be able to say, HaNeshama Loch, the soul is yours, V'haguf Shaloch, and our body is doing so many mitzvahs, and our body is so in tune with the neshama, it's also yours. So then, asei l'man shemecha. If we can come to that madrega, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you can keep us going, not out of rachmanus, because we're going to give greater expression to this tremendous miracle of mafli lasos that you have put together. Yom Kippur, so many of the minhagim of Yom Kippur are driven by this idea that a human being can become a aneshamalach vaguf shalach, that we can have the ability to come to the madrega, the level where our bodies actually have been sanctified to some extent. That's why we come into the day, we don't eat, we don't, that's what the Medrash says, that we are like, we pretend like a malachim. How do we pretend like a malachim? So we don't eat for 24 hours, we don't do work for 24 hours. Gemara, the Medrash says, just like malachim don't eat or drink, so we don't eat or drink, just like malachim make peace amongst their all living peacefully. All the malachim live peacefully. So I think that's the source of the minhag, that before Yom Kippur, we, even if it's perfunctory, before Yom Kippur, we have to make sure that if we have to ask for mechila, then we've asked for mechila. But we also do perfunctory mechila. We also go around just in case, just make sure that we didn't miss anything. So that perfunctory request of mechila, maybe that's based on reminding ourselves that we're coming to the Yom HaKadosh aspiring to be malachim, aspiring to be a successful neshamaluch v'aguf shalach, be able to say, asei leman shemecha. The beginning of the Yom HaKadosh is the beautiful prayer, Tefillah Zaka. Tefillah Zaka, I remember when I was a kid, so Yechide school used to say it was not very, very well, wasn't so popular. But now it's in the Yad Schol Machzer, and we try to set aside the time for it, and call the davening a little bit earlier so people will sit down and say, and it's almost an expanded form of Nishmas, but it's a very, very beautiful form of a vidui, where we express our appreciation of the various gifts that the Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us, and at the same time we express our appreciation and express some of the shortcomings. And then we open up with Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre is a very puzzling part of the tefillah, because Kol Nidre in the Gemara is a very technical declaration. A very, very technical declaration of that all of the oaths that we've made should become voided, and all the oaths that we will make the upcoming year should not have any standing. And in fact, many of the poskim say that the minhag of Klal Yisrael, that the more common minhag that women do not say a Torah Sedar, is because they are still working with the Kol Nidre, and that the Kol Nidre works to some extent. Now, we, practically speaking, we very, very rarely say, you said Kol Nidre, you don't have to worry about doing a Torah Seder. We always opt for, if a person makes a neder, we will always try to release them via at Torah Seder. So, but Kol Nidre has picked up a tremendous, tremendous place in the heart of the Jew, in the romantic connection with Yom Kippur. And if Klal Yisrael picks up on something, so it has to have some significance. So it's always a very puzzling thing that often a moment of great emotion. So I believe that the reason for this is because in the Kabbalistic literature, Kol Nidre has a different meaning altogether. In the Gemara, Kol Nidre is a technical issue of how to ease ourselves out of Nidorim. And there are many, many darshanim who have developed different ideas about Kol Nidre. Rav, for example, pointed out that when we release ourselves of a neder, it's as if the neder happened. The neder never happened. So similarly, when we come to Yom Kippur, we've done tshuva, it's as if the avera never happened. But to me, they're all complicated. It's complex. It's hard to imagine that a person has that in mind. The Zohar sees Kol Nidre as Klal Yisrael turning to Rabbono Shel Olam and saying, Rabbono Shalom, you have may have made certain decrees. You have made certain oaths. could be that 10 days on Rosh Hashanah you have made certain dinim. We're releasing you from all of these nidar. Right? And it's a request from the Rebbe Shem Kol Nidrei V'Sori. It doesn't say, it says that the Ishtabana that we have made Udacharimna, Udasana Navshana, and that we may have prohibited on ourselves. But it's a, according to the Kabbalah, it's a prayer saying, Rabboni Shalom, if there are any gezeros, any decrees, so then we are requesting Lo Shiriven, Lo Kayomen. And then if you look at it in that way, then it picks up the great meaning. Then you understand why you're pulling out of the Sifrei Torah. And the Chazan stands there with the Sifrei Torah next to him. He's turning to Rabboni Shalom and saying, Rabboni Shalom, in the power invested upon us, look at these people. These are not the same people that you may have judged in a different way earlier. And give us the day that we're going to see ourselves and rise up to be Malachim. And they look at us differently.
Why three times Vedas?
Three times, there are, when a Beis Din, there are times when a Beis Din will do three times for emphasis. Halachically, once is always good enough. But even in a Torah Nedarim, our minhag is to say, Mocholoch, Mocholoch, Mocholoch. So once we're presenting ourselves like a Beis Din, so we do it the... part of the presentation.
Based on what the Zohar is saying, it also makes sense. You ask them for Mechil and they say no.
Yes, again,
the
right.
The third time.
If that's three times, that's correct.
So you're
that's
saying correct. On the contrast, we're asking Hashem to be my plus, essentially.
That's correct.
Maybe he says no after the first time, so we do it.
See, right. That's correct. We've been saying, and we will say through Yom Kippur, Zachreinu L'chaim. Zachreinu L'chaim, God should remember us and remember us and grant us life. Melech Chofetz B'chayim, right at the beginning of Shemon Esrei, page 78, God who desires life, V'chosveinu B'sefer Chayim, inscribe us in the book of life, Leman Cholikim Chayim, for your sake. I touched on this on Rosh Hashanah morning. And the davening is a very noble davening. The question is, do we really mean what we say? Are we really sincere about this? Zechreinu l'chaim, that we want God to grant us life, we're sincere. Melech chafetz b'chaim, we believe God wants life. He created life, of course he wants life. Kosvenu b'sefer achaim, so far we're good. But then we say, l'mancha, we're doing it for you. We want to live longer for you. So, is that really, are we really being honest? We'll do mitzvahs. We'll do lots of mitzvahs. We'll do lots of chesed, a lot of tzedakah, we'll learn a lot. But can we really say, Rabboni Shalom, we want life, Leman Cha? We're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We gotta be honest. So what's Leman Cha Elokim Chaim? So I suggested on Rosh Hashanah morning that that's one of the things that we learn from Chana. That if a person comes to the realization, we discussed it for a few minutes on Rosh Hashanah morning, a person comes to the realization that everything that I call totally, everything's dependent on the Rebbeinu Shlomo. All of our needs and all of our requests are all entirely dependent on the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So then a person might be more, might come to the point where they will be very, very genuine. Just like Chana, once she came to the realization that it wasn't a realization, but once she felt the depth of her entire dependence on the Rabboni Shlolem, so then that's when she crafted this tefillah that she'll share Shmuel with the Rabboni Shlolem. So when a person comes to that, it could be that all year round we wouldn't say Leman Chlekim Chaim. But during these days, the Yemei Adin, and with so keenly etched in our minds that what we want is entirely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanting it as well, so then perhaps we get to the Madrega, we can say Leman Cholikim Chayim, that we are Ki'ilu cutting a deal with the Rebbeinu Shalom, as Chana cut a deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we will make sure that it's we're promising Kadosh Baruch Hu will be a life that will be give him great nachas and makadosh shem shemayim. But then I was thinking that when do we use a similar phrase of lemancha in Chumash? It comes up several times where some negotiations take place, and so this is not the first time, but one of the very I think a pasuk that gives us an insight. Ula yesh chamishim tzadikim besocha ir. Avram says to the Ribbono Shalom, "You're going to destroy Sodom. Maybe there are 50 righteous people there. Ha'af tispeh v'lo tisol amakom lemana chamishim tzadikim esher b'kirbo. Is it really true that you're not going to maintain this place lema'an, for the sake of those 50 tzaddikim that are there?" Now Avraham Avinu, from our understanding of the pasuk, was not really telling, negotiating with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that I really want Sodom to survive for the 50 tzaddikim. Avraham wanted Sodom to survive. For whatever reason, he thought he'd be able to influence them out of pure rachmanos, possibly because he felt some sense of responsibility for what happened to Sodom, because he had had an opportunity to have a greater influence in Sodom after his battle with the five kings. Well, Yosef was that suggestion. For whatever reason, we get the sense from the pasuk he wanted all of Sodom to survive. And we don't get the sense he wanted Sodom to survive because he needed those 50 tzaddikim. So in the pasuk, it sounds like that Leman is Avram saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I really want Sodom to survive. I cannot justify keeping all of Sodom around, but you know, our agendas can coalesce, right? It's not from your perspective of what's right and correct. It makes sense to keep it around for the 50 tzaddikim, and I want the 50 tzaddikim to stick around. I want the entire place to stick around. The first time that Leman comes up in Chumash is when Avram brings Sarah down to Paro. They're on their way down, beginning of Lech Lecha. And Imri no Achosiyot, so Achosiyot, Avram says, please tell everybody you're my sister. Lema'an yitavli ba'avurech, in order that it'll be good for me because of you. And I will live because of you. So here also the word I believe the simple maybe primitive understanding of the pasuk is that Avraham Avinu wanted to live. He also wanted to sort of live as well, right? So he says Imri na achosiyat leman yitavli, so that we'll live, right? He says lema'an yitavli ba'avorech, so that I'll live because of you. Ulaman vayisan nafshi biglalech v'choisan nafshi, and I will live because of you. In my mind, certainly in the simple reading of the pasuk, that is of a secondary importance. Laman means, I'm telling you, Sarah, it's very hard for you to lie. It's very hard for you to misrepresent yourself. But it'll be good for you in the end as well. If we live because of you, it'll be good. So their agendas coalesce. Avram wants to live, and it's in Sarah's best interest that she should be the one who saves the family. So I'm wondering whether Leman in Tanakh can mean, we're saying I'm very honest to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we want to live because there are things we want to do, because we have many things to take care of. We don't want friends and family to be enveloped with sadness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can make our agendas coalesce. If I live a life that is Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, if I live a life that'll do mitzvahs, that I'll do chesed, so it'll be good for you as well. So that's what I'm wondering, whether Lemancha doesn't have to mean, I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to live because it's good for you. I think it's hard for a person to say it honestly in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But I want to live because I have certain selfish interests in living. And, l'mancho l'kim chayim, I will, as Chana taught us, will share this bracha and make sure that a Kodesh Baruch Hu's agenda is advanced as well. So I'm wondering if that's an easier pshat to have in mind when we say Leman Chalekim Chayim, and a more genuine one.
So there's purely arguing
that it'll be for
the good of Hashem.
Right. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the question is, can we honestly say that we're on that Madrega where we can say this will be first is on that Madrega, and that's Gvaldik. Those are very, very precious and
tefillos. That was the concept of Ein Melech Olam. I mean, this is on an
right, but it could be
individual, but as a cloud.
Yeah. There's no question that one of the highest forms of davening is where a person is what Chana did. Chana said, "If I have a child, so then that child will be become a Shmuel Hanavi. I'm not even gonna after he's been weaned, he comes to Beis Hamikdash." So that's a Madrega. But I don't know if all of us can reach that Madrega. So when we say Leman Cha, I just don't know if it's honest. Go ahead.
In this Ruch is a Ruch, well, kind of from Sifse Chaim, a Ruchnias.
Yeah.
You're saying, let me have a Ruchnias. Now, Chok is Bechaim, the alternative is a Chok where you want us to live and not die, right? Because Hashem doesn't want the death of even the Ruchnias.
Right.
So, Maman Chos, so that we could, whatever Hashem wants us to do Torah mitzvahs. So it is Laman Chos. If you give me a life of Ruchnias,
right.
It's Laman Chos. So if we're in, so to speak, in Hashem's army, so the king is, it's for his benefit to make his army strong and powerful and.
Right. So the question is, in my mind is Leman Cha is it stand on its own, is unique, or is if a person can say that with a full heart, then that's a very, very important tefillah. The question, a person cannot say it with a full heart, so what's he saying? That's what I'm wondering. Whether so did Chazal give us a tefillah and they put it in Shemona Esrei, and it's a tefillah that very hard to really say genuinely. So that's what I'm wondering, that perhaps that Lemancha, the phrase Lemancha, does not mean the way that we usually translate it. We've pointed out in previous years what I think is a tremendously important insight at the very beginning of all of our Shemona Esrei's. Starting, let's say, in page 80. We've been doing this in Rosh Hashanah, and then again on Yom Kippur. We begin, as soon as we start the Shemona Esrei, we say, Ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tein Pachtecho Hashem Elokeinu Kol Maasech. We ask God to instill His fear on all of creation, that God should be fully revered. Tein Kovod Hashem Lamecha, give glory and honor to your people. V'chein Tzadikim Ruvi Yisvachot, the Tzadikim, the righteous should be happy. So the phrase uvechein is a strange phrase. Even if you look at the art scroll, and so too, uvechein tein pachta, we would be missing nothing if it would just be v'tein pachtecha. Give your instill your awe, right? Tein kovod Hashem lamecha. V'tzadikim yiru yisrael. What's the uvechein? And so uvechein. Thank you. So if you're a lawyer, however, but what's it doing in the middle of Shemona Esrei? So there's a comment from the Avud Raham. The Avud Raham was the earliest commentary on all of the Siddur. The Avud Raham, of David Avud Raham, lived around the same time as the Ritva, I think. As the tour, the same time as the tour. He lived in the 1300s. I think it was published in 1340, I think, is when the first Avud Raham. We don't know much about him, but he had a tremendous impact on our appreciation of davening. So he suggested the following. He said, again, if it would not be a person of such early timing, then we would not look at it with such reverence. He said, where does Uvechein come up in Tanakh? It comes only twice in Tanakh. Was that? Right.
I read
was that? It goes. Oh, okay, good. Uvachain. I almost had it. And it's on tape also. Uvachain avoa lamelech asher lo kados. Right? Uvachain, it comes up once in Kohelas, but the Avud Raham relates it to this. Esther says that you want me to go into the king and not have been called. So I have by being called, by going into the king, it's a life-threatening situation. I could be killed. So Esther says, all we can do is tsumu alai, right? Gather all the Jews together, v'tsumu alai and fast, and uvachein, and with that, I'll go into the king. Even though it is, I don't really have the license to go. So what Ram says, when we begin our Shemona Esrei, we remind ourselves of that picture of coming to the king, even though we don't deserve to come to the king. We're fasting, we did tshuva, we said slichos, it's Yom Kippur, but after all said and done, uvachein avo al melech shelo kados. So we remind ourselves of that picture of Esther. I would add to that, you can check in the article, points us out, I don't think so. I would add to that, that the Vilna Gaon says in Megillah, when it says HaMelech, so who was the king?
Hashem,
right? That was one of the insights of the Uvachein Ovo Al HaMelech Hashem. When you read it, it means I will come to the, who's the king? Achashverosh. Uvachein Ovo Al HaMelech, I'll come to the king. So the Gra says, when you go through Megillah's Esther, when it just says Melech, all right, that's Achashverosh. When it says HaMelech, the king, it's a reference to Ron Shalom. So what Esther was saying is, I know that I'm walking into the Achashverosh's palace. I know that I'm really walking into the Ribono Shel Olam. I'm going to come to Achashverosh, and I'm going to plea on behalf of the Jews. What I'm really doing is coming to the Ribono Shel Olam. In this world, I'm walking to Achashverosh's palace. In the real world, I'm coming to the Ribono Shel Olam. So according to the Gra, and the Gra in fact quotes this Avud Raham as an important, when the Gra introduced the davening of Rosh Hashanah, he referred to this Avud Raham. So that's what we're conjuring up in our mind. Uvachein, our Shmona Esrei, means that there are many, many things in life that we are going to take care of as human beings. But we know that whatever we're doing in this world as human beings, we're really working in a different plane. We're really coming to Ribono Shel Olam as with a tefillah.
I don't think it says in the Megillah Melech. Everything is HaMelech.
There's no Melech at all?
No,
oh, really? Okay.
Could be that's one of the
Mr. Rush that Hashem is mentioned in the Megillah. Yeah, I thought there. Okay. I think
it's always
something. Towards the end of every Shemona Esrei, in the Yartzot begins on page 92. Towards the end of every Shemona Esrei, we say Vidui. And vidui, which literally means to confess our averos, vidui is the core act of tshuva. Tshuva is the classic parts of vidui are that we say to the Ribono Shel Olam, we realize we did something wrong, and we are embarrassed by it, and we will commit ourselves not to return to that hate in the future. Why did the Machzer put the Vidu in the middle of Shemona Esrei? It's a strange thing. Not in the middle, but it's still within Shemona Esrei. Certainly in the public Shemona Esrei, it's well before the very end. In the private Shemona Esrei, so then it's tacked on to the end. But in the Chazan Shemona Esrei, it's very much part of the Shemona Esrei before he completes it. Before, it's an important part of the Shemona Esrei still to go afterward. And the reason it requires comment is because we there's almost no other time when we do a mitzvah in the middle of Shemona Esrei. Right, so the Nusach Sfar blows shofar in the middle of Shemona Esrei. Nusach Sfar does it because shofar is a form of prayer. All right, so it fits there, but. We don't put on tefillin in the middle of Shemoneh. We are wearing our tefillin still. We wouldn't put on a talus in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Right? The Birchas Kohanim, that's a form of davening, so therefore it belongs there. But vidui is not a form of davening necessarily. So why is vidui made as part of the Shemoneh Esrei? So there are a few possibilities. One possibility is that this vidui is not the classic form of vidui. Classic vidui is done today and tomorrow, every morning. I find, what's the most jarring moment of slichos in the morning?
Getting up.
Getting up? Okay. The surprise, you're saying that. For you, it's we start in the middle of your day. Every time we sing slichos, you mean... I find the most jarring is when you have to find, when you find the place. You open up the slichos book, and you have to say, today's the second day of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, the third day of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, right? Because that's how it's recorded. So that's when you have to, that's when it hits you, we only have a few more days to go, right? Already I'm on, tomorrow morning, I'm already on day three, right? It's really day five, but then in the slichos book is day three. So have I made use of these 3 days as well? Am I on task to make this a real third day? So the mitzvah of tshuva, one could say that the mitzvah of tshuva really takes place before, it takes place during the break on Yom Kippur, it takes place in the morning before we daven. That's when a person introspects, sits down by himself and thinks, what does he have to work out? The vidui in the Shemoneh Esrei is like the vidui which one makes on a korban. A person brings a korban, korban chatas. So before they shech the korban, he leans on top of the animal and he says vidui. He doesn't say chotosi avisi pashati avisi kach v'kach. He says I did an avera. He doesn't start doing go the whole nusach and he's embarrassed and he. Well, he just says, this little sheep is for this Aveira. Yet, Rachman al-Islam, a person is being executed. So he says, Vidui. So he says that his death should be a kapora. Right? A person, Rachman al-Islam, is al-Eris Devoy. He's going into the next world, and he says, Vidui. So I believe the Nusach is not, and I will never do this chayt again. The Nusach is that his leaving this world should be a kapara, should be a form of a korban. So it could be that our Shemoneh Esrei is as like a korban. Our Shemoneh Esrei is the in place when the Shalma Farim Sfaseinu. That we're saying Musaf instead of a korban. We're saying Shachma instead of a korban. So the vidui is, we don't do this every single day, but on Yom Kippur, we are bringing this korban Shachmas, this korban Musaf, and therefore we have to associate it with our Chaton. The other possibility I was thinking of is that the vidui, one of the unusual parts of the vidui is that it's very generic. That's a debate that goes back to the times of the Rishonim. Do we have generic vidui or do we have specific vidui? So there's no question that the vidui that we would do during this course of the week and the vidui that we do privately, that is a very, very specific vidui. And everybody says their own. No two people's vidui is going to be the same. The vidui that we say on Yom Kippur, in the Shemoneh Esrei, that's more of a generic one. So that's a question that's raised by the poskim. Is that the way it's supposed to be? Or is it supposed to be just a moment for individuals to add in their own chatam? That's why many people have vidui books. Because the Chayyotim, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, he thought, he argued very strongly that every time we say vidui, it's the real thing. And therefore we should really be recording private averus. So he wrote, he gave us a guide how we could select from a long list of averus, which averus apply to ourselves. But the vidui which appears in the Machzor is a generic vidui, and I think that one could suggest that the reason why the vidui is in Shemoneh Esrei and why the Chayyarim would say that we actually go through a real vidui. Chayyarim actually says that the end of Shmoneh Esrei, we would, whatever tshuva we want to do, we do it in Shmoneh Esrei. Again, the question, why would we do a mitzvah of tshuva in Shmoneh Esrei? So the Rambam writes that vidui is tshuva in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A person can do tshuva in the privacy of their own hearts, and that's tshuva. Vidui is when I present my tshuva to Kadosh Baruch Hu. When I see myself as having to come to the Rabbono Shalom with my tshuva. That's the language of the Rambam is, she yisvada lifnei hakel baruch hu. That he says vidui, and he does tshuva in front of the Rabbono Shalom. When the Koyen represents Klal Yisrael, and he says tshuva, he says ono Hashem. He's talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So there are two kinds of vidui. There's a tshuva, two kinds of tshuva. There's tshuva in the privacy of my own place. It's a tshuva that I work on myself. It's what it's an evaluation of where things have, what areas I have to improve. And it's a moments by myself where I am concerned about my own shortcomings and how I have not used the gifts that I've been granted in the way that I should have, and a commitment to figure out how I can put things in the proper place and commit myself to that plan. That's the private vidui. That's that we do on our own. Then there's a vidui return to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We say on Hashem. In fact, that's how the vidui in Shmoneh Esrei is very much talking to Rabbono Shalom. We say, let's say in page 128, right? We're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not saying that we're coming, it's easy for us to daven to you. When it's all in a conversation. Sarnu mi mitzvei secha. Page 130. We have straight away from your mitzvahs. It's direct conversation. And then, Elokeinu keveseinu salachu mechal lavaneseinu, asking for mechila. To me, at the very, very end of the Shmoneh Esrei, we say, in the private Shmoneh Esrei, we say, Manu marlo fanecha yoshev marom. So that's an expression of embarrassment. But then at the very end we say, Hare anilu fanecha chli moli busha chlima. That I'm embarrassed by my shortcomings. Yirutzon, b'fanecha Hashem alakamu v'sashil lo echa ta'od. We ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to help us not sin again. So in my mind, we really do have the mitzvah of tshuva embedded inside our Shmoneh Esrei, because we see that there is a form of tshuva which is presenting myself to the Rabbono Shalom. It's between me and Kadosh Baruch Hu, and there I'm very honest to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't think that I'll be able, if I was unsuccessful over the course of many years in mastering a certain mitzvah, a certain midah, so why should this year be different? Say Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yir Tzom Lefanecha. Maybe this year you will listen to my prayers and help me in being able to be mezgaber. So I think that's why tshuva is stuck in Shmoneh Esrei, because Chazal wants us to see that a core part of tshuva, of vidui, is presenting myself to the Rabbono Shalom and having taking the difficult step of saying vidui directly to the words of Rabbono Shalom, admitting my shortcomings directly towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. At the very end of Ne'ilah, there, the phrase, very striking phrase. At page 752. Antoiv dalta nosh me rosh. V'takiriru l'amor l'fanecha. You put the set us apart from the very beginning. Ki mi yomar lachem atifal mi yimstak mi yitin lach, because who would be able? Ki mi yomar lachem atifal, who could? We can't tell God what to do. Ve'im yitzdak ma yitin lach, and what can we possibly give you? Vatitin lonu Hashem lekenu bi'ava, and with great love you gave us Yom Kippur. A time for forgiveness, a day of amnesty. As we mentioned on Shabbos, the Sefer Achinuch, the great gift of having amnesty so that the arveiros don't pile up. L'man nechdal me'oshek yodenu, that we will stop this act of theft. That is the article translated. A pardon, forgiveness, what does it say? So that we withdraw our hands from oppression. Neshuv Elecha. Now, Oshek Yedeinu means theft. So why do we put, all of a sudden it pops up, we haven't been discussing expressly the issues of integrity, the issue of Leman Nechdal Me'oshek Yodein. Oshek is taking things inappropriately. So what's this phrase popping up all of a sudden? Ne'ilav and Noshav Eilecha La'asot Chukim Tzoyenucha B'Lev B'Sholim. So I think, and then I saw in the writings of Rav Solomon a similar idea, that when we say Ashamnu Bogadnu Gazalnu, right? We're guilty. Bogadnu, we have. Bogadnu means we were. Shilamnu ra tachas tova. You've done good things for us, and we did not repay you in kind. That's bogadnu. Gozalnu, we stole. So it could be referring to situations where inappropriate, we may have done something financially inappropriately. But more likely, what we're saying is that we are, instead of identifying specific averos, we're identifying root issues, right? Ashamnu means that we have from the word shmama, we've destroyed things, and we haven't made use of the gifts that you gave us in the greatest possible way. Bogan is the same thing, Gazal is the same thing. But all of these things that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us certain gifts, and we didn't use them in the most productive fashion. It could be the many gifts that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us. So that's Laman Nechtal Me'oshek Yodeinu. That's what we're saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That at the end of Yom Kippur, so then we have this insight that here we're on an elevated moment, an elevated stature or status, and we have this frightening insight that we can achieve this level of spirituality, spiritual sanctity, and we haven't, we max out by Nila once a year, right? So all of a sudden we realize, the Rosh Hashanah, that you've given us, we could have achieved this, and we have it, we have the capacity within us to achieve greatness. We didn't do it. So that's Laman Nechtal Me'oshek. Kadosh Baruch should help us going forward, that we should not be responsible or held responsible for taking the opportunities of greatness and not fulfilling them. We begin the Yom Kippur with Tefillah Zaka, which is an expression of a similar idea, and then we end with Laman Nechtal Me'oshek Yedein. So let's close with a very pretty idea from Rav Shamshon Frol Hirsch. One of the ideas that we express during the Musaf Avoda is we focus many, many times on what the Kohen many times changes clothing, right? That's almost one of the markers of the Avoda, because every time he does something that's unique to Yom Kippur and something which requires him to go into the Kodshei Kodshim, the Holy of Holies, so he has to put on the white simple clothing of the Kohen. He can't wear the gold clothing of the Kohen Gadol. And the reason is because he can't, we don't want to be, we we want to express our embarrassment over the Chet HaEgel. The Gemara says it is, how can he go in and defend us when he's glaringly reminding us of the Chet HaEgel? In my mind, it means is that we are expressing our inability, our meekness. We're saying we realize it happened once, it could happen again, so let's not go there, so to speak. Let's leave gold out of this, right? So, but it's very much in our minds. The Kohen has to be so much on his mind that he has to take off the gold clothing. Every time he switches clothing, he has to go to mikveh, and he has to wash his hands, right? So I understand that he may, as he's undressing, he may have touched parts of his head, but he said wash his hands. But why mikveh each time? So Shamsha and Fol Hirsch says, you see that the change of clothing is part of the avoda. Because the actual change, it's not that I'm changing clothing because I have to do avoda. No, the actual change of clothing must be avoda because it must be done together with tefillah, going to mikveh. So he suggests the following. He suggests that when the Kohen Gadol changes from the big day zahav, which are his regular clothes, to the big day lavan, to Yom Kippur clothing, right? So then there's a certain avoda, and then he's saying, I'm able to achieve a tremendous amount of spirituality. I can go into kacha kacha. So that moment when he realizes and he commits himself, look at what I can do for myself, that's an avoda. That is a moment of a great realization, and that's a moment when he expresses great promise. So that requires a moment. He has to make it requires presence, goes to mikveh. When he changes back into his big day zov, that's when he's saying that great moment shouldn't stay in kacha kacha. That moment has to somehow come with me when I put on my big day zov, when I go back to do my regular avoda for the Kohen Gadol. So wearing big day zov are his regular work clothes, so to speak. So trying to bring those moments forward into the course of his regular avoda, that's what he's doing when he changes into his big day zov. So that requires a moment of thought, a moment of presence as well. That requires the tefillah then as well.
It's almost like his whole thing in terms of Torah Derech Eretz. In other words, that even in the Derech Eretz, right, you're bringing in the Torah, the guiding thing that has to be brought into that.
Yeah, very good. That's very true. Very consistent with his. So I was thinking that it frames our Yom Kippur as well. We come into the Yom Kippur with Baruch Hashem and Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aser Shmei Tshuva, Slichas, having prepared ourselves, Tshuva, and so that's the Tevila that we do in order to get ourselves ready for the big day Lavan, for this day of great sanctity. And Bez Hashem, when we complete the days of Elul with the moments of Ne'ilah, and then we step out of these very gifted days and gifted moments, so that's when we have to practice the Tevila of the Kohen Gadol and commit ourselves that Shenechdal Me'oshek Yedeinu, that we leave Yom Kippur with a greater appreciation of some of the gifts the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us, and with the commitment to being able to give them greater expression as we go forward.